I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance back in studio, along with RJ here with you at 713-780-3776.
At least for 2 days.
Then you leave.
Friday, well, I'm doing a show in New York.
I'm off.
And then, Friday I'm doing a show. Oh, Friday you're off?
Yeah.
What are you going to tell us?
The 22nd. You really aren't all that bright, are you? Okay.
Dell's
how long
coming
have
in?
You known the 22nd I'm off? Okay.
Yeah. I got to make sure Dell's in because I'm in New York.
Okay. Well, that's all on time. You. Let's go. Tighten up the ship. Let's
I think
go.
We've already got that set up. I may be off Friday now. Sorry, guys. Friday looks like I'm off.
Okay.
Because I don't think we'll do that. But too many problems on remotes. But I can tell you this. I'll be in L.A. the entire week of the draft and trying to bring you some updated information. This is the first time we have the Texans actually matter in the draft for years.
Yeah.
These draft picks will either propel them towards a positive direction or it will sink them for another 3 years. I mean, it's really that simple. I mean, you have two first-round picks. If you F these up, it's just simple. If you F these up with a bad roster, you're in a lot of trouble. You cannot F up first-round picks. A 3, a 13.
No, it's been done before. The 3, hey, the third overall pick has been
hit. It flops.
Recent history is it's
not
crap.
Great. I read you every 13 and every 3. The 13s are better than the 3s over the last decade.
Yeah.
So it's very possible. That's why I'm saying the Texans cannot afford. I mean, they have. I was going over all the rosters. I have to do an entire report on 32 teams, and the Texans are the worst.
What?
They're the worst.
What is this? Some kind of revelation
that you just
came up with?
It's just that there is no help for them other than the draft. So if you screw up your only mode for help, how can you expect to be good?
Well, if they do pick up some good draft picks, if Davis Mills is, you know, can play, there's a chance that you can bring in some
good. Yeah. I said if you don't.
Yeah.
If you they say a bad first round pick is worth 2 seasons. You screw yourself for 2 seasons. If you miss on your chance to get a good player, unless you really kill it in the middle rounds.
Yeah.
Because you're not the odds. I got the odds on 4 through 7. The odds on 4 through 7 of you hitting a starter is like 9%. So 9 to 11%. It's not good.
No.
It's not good to find a plus starter 4 through 7. We'll always point out the guys that do it and act like that's but it's really
Well, Tom Brady was a 6th rounder, you know.
Yeah, you point that out. Like the greatest player that's ever played in any sport potentially is one of the greatest winners of any sport, was a 6th rounder. It is a very, very low percentage. So the Texans really cannot afford to miss 2 first-round picks.
Mm-mm.
One of them has to be a big hit. I firmly believe that. They have no J.J. Watts, they have no Andre Johnsons, they have no Arian Foster, they have no nothing. They're terrible. And they're terrible at every position almost. I mean, Titus Howard, terrible. They're really terrible across the board. Laremy Tunsil doesn't play, so I don't count him. I came away so despondent looking at the entire roster. I'm like, oh, my God, this is just a random set of guys that you're going to replace with another random set of guys if you don't hit. Like, I mean it. You have now, you have nothing really to show for. You really have very little to show for the 19 draft. It's Titus Howard, Lonnie Johnson, what's his name?
That regime screwed everything up. Why would you?
The guard. No, but what I'm saying is you can't miss so many years in a row. It's so devastating. Yeah. This is what happens when you miss multiple years or don't have picks. You cannot afford to miss another year. Was Titus Howard's not a hit? Let's just be honest. Maybe he'll turn into a hit this year. People trying to talk themselves onto Titus Howard, this good football player, it's just ridiculous. Titus Howard is not a good football player right now. He's just a guy. So you got Titus Howard when he plays. You had Lonnie Johnson's not a dude. Lonnie Johnson will be out of here when his contract's over. You've got Max Sharping, who's been a huge miss. That was a terrible draft by frankly, Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien. It was not a good draft. Then you follow it up with no first-round pick, and now you got this year. You cannot miss. You cannot have 4 years of no first-round picks.
All right, so if I told you, instead of going for spectacular, like let's say Kayvon Thibodeau, go for sure thing in an Evan Neal.
That's what I'm for.
Yeah.
You got to.
What's the position? It's Icky, if it's Evan, I've seen Charles Cross a few times as the third overall pick.
That's too many. I would say Icky and Evan are the two. Icky, Evan, and Aiden Hutchinson are the three safest players. Icky's not really safe, to be honest with you, but he's going to be so good as a run blocker that I would say the two safest are Evan Neal. Now, I've heard Evan has a little bit of a knee issue, I don't know that it's anything that's going to cause him to drop, but Evan Neal and Aiden Hutchinson are your two safest players.
That's it.
They're your two safest.
And you got to, well, and if they're both gone, now you've
got to. But I think one of those guys is going to be there.
Yeah, one of the guys will.
One of those guys is going to be
there. Aiden Hutchinson won't be there. He will not get past
Detroit. Aiden Hutchinson's one or two.
Yes, sir.
Trayvon Walker, I believe, is going to be one or two. So now it leaves you with, don't screw this up. It's not going to be Thibodeau, but it could be Stingley. That's the kind of pick to me where that's a volatile, high ceiling, low floor pick. And that's the kind of thing that, that's what the Patriots do. That concerns me a little bit. Sauce Gardner he doesn't have a ton. Like, it's not 3 years of playing really good football, but he's a good athlete. He holds a little bit. He's going to be a penalty machine early on until he learns it, learns to play better. But I really worry that they're going to outthink themselves. To me, draft Evan Neal and move on. Evan Neal is a good guy, a good player. I don't think he's a great player, but he's a good player. When you're going to paint a house, you got to get the primer on, the base coat. You have no base coat. The base coat needs to be something solid, and that would be Evan Neal for me. And at 13, they need to go, as solid as they can get.
Well,
too.
Let me ask you this: since every year you're able to go get a tackle. I mean, if you've got, listen, they still got Tunsil under contract. Whether or not he's going to be here, we'll see. You've got an out after this year that you can get rid of him. But maybe they're thinking, and according to Ed, Laramie Tunsil this offseason, hey, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, everybody. Sure. I know all you thought I was leaving, but I'm here.
I know we do wish you were gone, and you wish you were gone. Let's quit pretending. You got your money. You tricked Bill. Congratulations. You didn't want to play last year. You shut it down for the whole year when you could have come back and played with the thumb. You could have cast it up and played. You didn't want to. We know you're about more drip than you are about trying to win. I mean, that's what it is. There's a reason Miami is willing to get rid of him. There's a reason he fell.
Up all that they got, you would get rid of him too.
Yeah, it's Houston knew he was available. And he'll get his money in and he'll move on to another team. He'll be a cap casualty next year. At some point you got to get guys who want a ball. You drafted Charles Aminihu, didn't want to get after it. You've had a whole team full of those guys, and now Nick Caserio's job is to get rid of them and get guys in that have the culture that they want to win and they want to be part of something. And to do that, you got to draft some leaders and get some guys in the building that are the right guys. So this is just an enormous. Yesterday I had this come to Jesus moment as I'm looking through the roster and realize they screw this up. It's going to be 19, 20, 21, and 22 where you have no chance at the Watt, Hopkins, Johnson, Dwayne Brown, Brian Cushing, even Will Fuller for a short period of time. I don't want to throw in Will Fuller.
I mentioned JJ.
Obviously, Deshaun Watson. You have no chance to get those level players. Yeah. Not even Kareem Jackson, who started slow but really picked it up.
Yeah.
You cannot miss in this draft. One of these guys has to be a really good player. You don't have anything. So, you know, you go Stingley at 3, and I'm just telling you right now, man, that is just a huge concern for me. So we'll see what happens. And the idea of waiting on tackle, you know what? You thought you could get tackle any year after Dwayne Brown, and you found out you can't. Especially if you're drafting in the 20s, you can't. Because the good tackles are always gone. So I don't expect the Texans to be drafting in the 20s next year. But I would just tell you, an Alabama guy with size, and unless he's got physical issues, which a lot of Bama guys do because they get beat to hell in a meat grinder, unless he comes out and he's okay physically, just draft. Just don't try to get too cute with this draft. Please, Nick. You can go get a cornerback. You can move up from 13 into the top 8 and get Stingley if you want. I bet you can move up to number 8. I don't know who's number 8.
Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta might be willing to move out of 8 and draft, you know, Malik Willis at 13. Malik might be there at 13. Maybe Atlanta would do that. If they need wide receiver, maybe they move to 13 and draft the best available.
Now, why do you want to move up to 8 again? Or you want to move back?
No, if you wanted to move up, you could go get Derek Stingley if you like Stingley.
For what?
Cornerback.
I mean, for what? What are you going to give up to get up to 13?
13
to get
and 8, up to 8 is probably a second.
No.
Future second. You need
too many players.
Well, I'm just saying, I would rather do that.
I would rather wait for 13 and get Breece Hall with their second round pick than give up and move up for Stingley.
I want an offensive lineman. This idea that the Texans are good at offensive line, where is this coming from?
Who said this?
The Texans.
Who said this?
I've been reading this.
Who told you
this? Texans fans go, no, we've got Tunsil, we've got these are the same guys they have to be the worst running team in all of football, number one. Titus Howard is a terrible run blocker, and he can't play guard. And Laremy Tunsil's solid. You've got nothing at center. Justin Pritt's not the answer. He's just a Band-Aid that's filling in right now. You don't have guards that are ready to win. Go get offensive linemen. Don't goof around with this. Don't screw this up, Nick. I'm telling you. I'm getting in a bad mood even thinking about it. And did you see the picture of Deshaun Watson? Did you see the picture of Deshaun Watson from the Cleveland Browns website?
What, from how he's...
Well, he was working out. He's decided he's going to work out now. And... oh my God!
Well, did you see it was snowing and he had to wear a jacket and it was
when they post yeah. when they post things now the Cleveland football site, it's not as bad as when the Texans post stuff.
Was this the picture where he's on the weight machine and he's upside down?
Somebody I think may have put that under the under the Browns thing. Yes, I think somebody put that under the Browns site. But I'm just telling you, when the Browns post something about Deshaun, it's not as bad as when the Texans website posts, the Texans Twitter posts anything. Texans Twitter can post anything.
And
it's going to be a nightmare
Jackie
the comments.
Quit. Jack Easterby, quit.
Yeah.
Jack Easterby, kill yourself.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
But when they post something about Deshaun, oh, it's not great.
No.
It's not. The fans from around the country come out to get their licks in every time they post it. That's social media.
All right, well, Garrett Cole got some licks in yesterday. The fans got some licks in, and somebody punked the Angels. Well, this was 2 days ago.
It was just another type of, all of a sudden, all these fake ball sack sports sites are coming out now.
I'm glad somebody else got it.
We'll
talk about it on the other side.
You'll hear the announcers reading directly verbatim from basically a fake Twitter account.
It's the best. All right, right now, though, we've got Doc Linville that we're talking about here. You Twitch people, you got it. You can see right here, right now, all the hair and how it looks. And it, you know what? It's just what Doc Linville does every single day. I mean, it's amazing how he's able to take guys who are balding, big bald spots, a receding hairline. Now, if you're balding, I mean, he can help you out in other ways. You got the PRP where you can, you know, shake up the blood and stimulate the growth of your hair. He can do that stuff, which he does. And he'll tell some, you might call and say, well, I'm receding a little bit here. Oh, that's not enough to get the the neo-grafting. So we're going to do – we'll do a PRP, and we'll stimulate the growth in your hair, and then that's fine. He's not going to do something that, you know, hey, you don't need that. If you don't need the neo-grafting, he ain't doing it for you, okay? So you get your consultation. Go to 975hair.com and see where you are. And you might be like me, and, hey, you need some neo-grafting, bruh. You need to fill those spots in. And he did, and I did, and I love it. And you will, too. 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, before we get to this Gerrit Cole stuff, Astros lose yesterday. 7-2 was your final. They just couldn't get anything going offensively. We'll talk about it around the corner here. Framber Valdez, once again, did not have his good stuff. His curveball is just not working right now. 80 pitches and 30 of them were balls. It's just not good enough. Four walks. He had three Ks. He gave up six earned runs.
This is two
and eight hits. This
is the same thing, John. It's the same thing as last year. When it happens for a while until he gets a fix. This is what bothers me about Stroman.
When he needs this, where's his psychologist? Where's his psychologist?
I know. This is what bothers me about being Stroman being gone too. Stroman's been through this, so hopefully, this usually lasts for about four or five starts. It happened last year too, and then he snapped out of it. I hope. We're not in the same situation, but now two of three starts are like this.
Yep.
The first one was awesome. Start two, bad. Start three, not great. A little bit of a concern.
No, yeah, not great. Eight hits and four and a third. 80 pitches and four and a third. Six earned runs, not good. Of course, he could have helped. Had a little help defensively. Elidmus Diaz could have bailed him out on that short hop, but... 713-780-3776. Before we get to Gerrit Cole, Spencer wants to talk about James Click. What do you say, Spencer?
Hey, guys. I know Lance mentioned this last week about Click, talking about Nico Goodrum. And, you know, I know he came into a weird situation when he was hired, but he's been here for a couple of years now. And, you know, coming into this season, everybody was rightfully concerned about Pena. He's not been the problem. And, you know, one of the backbones of the Astros' success has always been having a very deep lineup with a very deep bench. And the reality is the Astros kind of have a lot of crappy hitters now. I mean, Elidmus Diaz is who he is, and he's probably washed up from what he was. Nico Goodrum never was very good. Maldonado can't hit. And I think, you know, McCormick and Siri, I don't know if they're, you know, going to be long-term solutions at the plate. That's a lot of bad hitters on a team. And it's just, it's very, very difficult to, you know, maintain success over 162 games, especially when you have, like, you know, older Gurriel, Brantley's older, Alvarez, you know, has knee issues or gets the flu or whatever. And it's just, it's kind of a problem. And the thing that bothers me about it is if you're not going to use Christian Javier, then go get something for him. He's been in two games this season. And they didn't really use him well last year. I don't understand why they don't use him more. And it just, I don't know, it really concerns me. I'm not panicking about the team. I think the team can be fine. But having the double-headed monster of Diaz and Goodrum is not, that's just not good. And that's not going to work over 162 games. So,
yeah.
Thanks, guys. I'm with you, by the way, on Javier, too. Javier's got a live arm. He's got a good arm. He's got good stuff. He just needs to be developed. He had a great first year with the Astros in the bubble. And then he, last year, it was much more up and down. He had some really good. He had some really not good. I think he just needs to pitch. They got to get Christian Javier innings and let him become a Major League Baseball pitcher. Like, his stuff is way better than Jake Odorizzi's. It's not close. That's what makes this very concerning to me, is that why are they not just pitching better pitchers and getting them? You want Jeremy Pena to play because Jeremy Pena can get better and develop as a player. Well, then why not a guy like Christian Javier? Let him play too. He's got better stuff than Jake Odorizzi. Let Christian Javier get some innings in the same way that Framber has developed. You got to develop Christian Javier. He's got good stuff. Let him develop some. Let him pitch. It's just like, Last year, too, throughout the year, there'd be stretches where he wouldn't pitch for 11 days. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
With young pitchers.
All right, let's get this Gerrit Cole story. So Gerrit Cole threw at Detroit. Yes. And by the way, we got to get the sound of the fans. The Yankee fans traveled all the way to Detroit just to boo Gerrit Cole.
I think they traveled to watch the Yankees, but the added bonus
was
that if Cole sucks, we're coming after him. And you remember the conversations we had, and you thought, well, Gerrit Cole's Gerrit Cole. He's going to be fine. And I hoped against hope that the stress would be too much for him and that he would fail miserably under the bright lights. I could have never envisioned this level of complete, like, it shows on his face.
Oh, my gosh.
Every start. The tension is so – he will not be there next year. Gerrit Cole's going to have to leave. He cannot be a Yankee. He's too stressed. He's too tense. And let's face it, Spider Tack was literally at least 70% of his success. And now that he doesn't have a Spider Tack, mentally he's completely whipped. He's completely whipped mentally.
How about an inning and two-thirds, 68 pitches, 5 walks, just 2 earned runs, just 1 hit given up. But 5 walks in an inning and two-thirds, 68 pitches. He was pulled for a reliever in the second inning. Now, he didn't make it through 2 innings. So there is something called the New York porch.
As in the New York Post.
It looks like the New York Post.
It's yellow. It says, now I don't know if it said it at the time, but you better say it if you want to stay open. It says satire page run by @YankeeLibrarian. Life is kayfabe. You don't break kayfabe. Click the link to read my Yankee blog. I don't know. He joined in March of 2021. It says New York Porch is in, and it looks like New York Post, the same, but it just says New York Porch, and it's got yellow background instead of red. So he did something about a bunt ban in March 7th at Major League Baseball. They agreed to ban bunts, and Good Morning America the Today Show fell for it. Here's a video. He pinned that where they fell for that story about eliminating bunts.
So a breaking story today is, is this today? There's a breaking story on here that the Yankees are going to remove batting average from scoreboards at stadium due to overwhelming influx of complaints from fans.
Yeah. Oh no. There's some really good ones. We'll get to in a little bit about this from this New York Porch Sports. But it started with just a simple. The Astros are on here too. It started with a very simple post. It just said Gerrit Cole promised an underprivileged school he'd donate 600 MacBooks if he went over 2 innings tonight. The Yankees ace went 1 2/3, and they posted that a little while back. And so they had that posted. A little while back, and you know, it's funny. It's basically he's just saying, you know, oh, he's going to give underprivileged kids if he went 2 innings, which is obviously outlandish.
Well, this is a innings. Michael Scott parody.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly what that is.
Right.
And instead, he just went 1 2/3. Well, this is after he had gone 1 2/3 and gotten rocked. The announcers from Washington. They got loose.
Was it the Angels announcers?
The Angels.
Angels announcers, yeah.
The Angels announcers at some point must have seen this or had somebody tag them because this is what they said on their broadcast.
Nine in his first 2 starts, and he had promised to an underprivileged school in New York before that ball game that he would donate 600 MacBooks if he went 2 innings or more tonight in that ball game. Certainly a nice gesture on his part. He ended up getting taken out of the game going an inning and 2/3.
Wow.
Listen, I am not going to say it because I got by Ballsack Sports before. So I'm not one to criticize, but these guys, and this must have been last night in Houston. These guys are talking about this. About Gerrit Cole, because it was just yesterday. So they're talking about Gerrit Cole last night on the Astros broadcast. While they're playing Angels the Astros last night. And while they're, no, on the Angels broadcast last night here.
Against the Astros.
Yeah, against the Astros. So I'm not going to criticize these guys, But it certainly is. They're going tonight, right now, they're waking up and they're going, oh, crap, what did we do? We got, oh, my goodness, how in the hell? But here's the deal is RJ came in beforehand, and he's like, what? Yeah, Diana Russo, what did Diana Russini do in Jacksonville?
So Diana Russini, this was, I think, so this is 2 years before Marone got fired. She had come out with a report. I think it was either she went on TV or she put out a tweet and said, I had just been told that this is Doug Marone's last game. And all the reporters went to Doug Marone and said, so, you know, how do you feel? You know, this is your last game as head coach. You know, just give us your feelings. And he kind of gave a look like, nobody told me this was my last game. I believe he said, I talked to Shad, and Shad was like, this is not my last game. And Diana Russini went on TV the next day and just laughed it off. She was just like, oops. Like, you know, I thought that that was the report. And, I mean, she spoke it in a way to where she was like, yep, that's what I heard. That's what's going down. This is Doug Marone's last game.
Is there a different – and you know what? She just laughed it off. And she's on ESPN this morning, as a matter of fact. And she's and your question was – it used to – wasn't there some kind of journalistic integrity that if you do something, if you mess up that badly – that you're supposed to, that you, it literally could cost you your job.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask this to Lance as well, because with you being the preeminent draft analyst, yeah, but also yeah, a
the
reporter,
preeminent draft expert. Uh-huh.
Yes, but my question is, as a guy who is trying to be a journalist himself, normally I felt back in, there was an era where you didn't have to be first, but you took pride in being right. And now it just seems that in today's era, even for the most seasoned of reporters, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. It just matters if you're first. But if Diana Russini made that mistake, let's just say, I mean, what, back in the 90s, early 2000s, don't you think that maybe she would have lost her job? I mean,
I'll tell you the difference. And it's a good question. But the difference is, quote unquote, new media. So there was no media in the new media in the 90s. New media is defined as basically websites and writers who do not have journalistic backgrounds, who didn't study, who do not write for mainstream sites, right? It used to be there was only a certain amount of sites. They were vetted. The writers were vetted. There was rules that they wrote by. You had to have a certain amount of sources. That way, you're right, because that you didn't see these things happen because there were all these checks in place. Editors were in place. Editors over the editors would double check something. They couldn't go with the story unless they had someone else. There's arguments in the newsroom. Now, once the internet hit and people decided, I'm now somebody who is an authority on this, that, or the other, all these websites pop up and they're considered new media sites. They don't play by the same rules because if they screw up, what's going to happen? Somebody's not going to subscribe to them? No, it doesn't matter. So what happened was the rules changed and it became about who's going to be first. It's really what ruined newspapers, because newspapers had to be first. They were getting beat by other people who were being first because of the internet. Mark Berman was never going to be on Twitter. You remember that, John? He used to make fun of Twitter and like, I am never going to be on Twitter. Everyone says that until they have to be on Twitter. If you're going to be in this business, you have to get your information out there. But what happened, what has happened, started happening over the last 3 years. And the first guy that did it that I remember was Uncle Chaps, who's now on Barstool. He was a big Jacksonville Jaguar fan. 2016. I'm looking at the article here because I remembered it was a while back. Chaps, there was a fake Olivier Vernon signing. Chaps posted something. He put the NFL background, just like somebody from NFL Network would. He put that in the background and said that Olivier Vernon was signing with the Miami Dolphins at the time. Oh, I'm sorry, the Jaguars. And Adam Schefter saw it, picked it up, and he read that. So did Ian. I think Ian Rapoport did a separate one. Here's Jay Glazer. Oh, man, I was just informed of some hijinks and shenanigans, tomfoolery, regarding a fake Jay Glazer account and the Ripple account. A Ripple effect, taking it all in. Oh, that's what he did. He did a fake Jay Glazer account. Damn, I finally got credit from ESPN, and it's not even from my real account. Damn, so close. I kid, but only because it's funny. So Chaps had a fake Uncle Chaps, who's now once again with Barstool. He had a fake Olivier Vernon signing to the Jaguars that national media picked up with because it was from a fake Jay Glazer. Then there was another one where Uncle Chaps faked something and Ian Rappaport fell for it. And Ian Rappaport got tricked. And
And that's the difference between just being wrong, like Ian Rossini was, and what is that there are a proliferation of just fake accounts out there that are just trying to fool people.
Now, she got parody, if she just had it wrong, yeah, usually you would have been suspended.
Yes.
Back in 90s, 2000s. Now, it just depends. Now it's really more political about if she's going to be allowed to stay on or if she's going to take heat. Sometimes they are suspended, but it's very quietly. Not a big deal's made because the person doesn't want it out there either, that they want that to go away. And the news cycle goes away faster. But new media has made it to where it's kind of changed the rules, and not for the better.
No.
That's why there is quote-unquote fake news, because there's no one to background check a lot of the stuff that crap that comes out.
Yeah. Well, Ballsack is so realistic.
Well, now it's
that's
satire.
Different.
Now there's just an influx of satire sites and parody sites trying to actively trick people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't even know. This is just a satire site like The Onion.
Yeah.
Somebody just got tricked by it. I don't know that they were actively trying to trick anybody.
They're trying to trick. The guy who writes for it took credit for it and said, oh, I got him. You know, I got him. I got somebody again.
But it's so outlandish. Oh, if he goes two innings?
Yeah,
he's
right.
He's given six. Just like this. Astros unveil rings they would have worn if they won World Series before Monday's game. That's clearly, and they show a fake World Series rings for the Astros. I mean, come on. But here's the problem. People have gotten super dumb. Like, people on Twitter cannot read humor or facetiousness or satire. They can't do it. That's why I had to quit SEC Guy, because people can't read parody anymore. I think it's really a case of just dumb. Like, I'd like to give you more credit. Like, oh, you just can't hear tone on Twitter. No, people are just dumb. And too many dumb people will cause dumbness to spread. And that's why we've got so much dumb in the world.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of dumb-dumbs are dumbing it up.
Well, let's smarten it up and talk about Gulf Coast Chevy.
Well, let's do that. Craig DeSerf's not a dummy. Craig DeSerf is smart. Craig DeSerf's a good person. And Craig DeSerf wants you to be part of the good things that he's offering to buyers right now. And it's really not hard to go out there and find awesome deals and awesome offers. I'll give you an example right now. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, right now they got the GMC Terrain. And if you're looking for an SUV, I really want you to listen carefully. The Terrain and the Yukon, that are really great vehicles. If you're looking for those vehicles, they've got awesome, awesome finance rates right now. Maybe you want a truck like the GMC Sierra 1500 Limited on the Sierra 2500 HD. They've got that going on for you right now. Best of all, most GMC models that they have available, like I mentioned, the great SUVs like the Terrain, the Yukon, a pickup truck like the Sierra 2500 HD, most of their models have 0% financing for very well-qualified buyers. So now is a time where the best deals you can hope for a lot of times are just something that is sticker price. That's the best you can hope for. Not only are they giving you sticker price, never anything over, and in many cases below sticker price, they got 0% financing available for well-qualified buyers as well at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. GMC, we are professional grade.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Bob Nightingale going to join us a little bit later in the show in the 9 o'clock hour, so we will have that talking baseball with a guy who has been around forever. Last night, your Astros lose at 7-2 was the final. At Minute Maid Park, just couldn't be more of a blasé game, really, if you want to know the truth. From the get-go, Fromber just didn't have it. The Astros trailed and just could never come back. Jeremy Peña took over in the leadoff spot and homered in his debut as a leadoff hitter. But that's good news about Jose Altuve, what Dusty said. Jose Altuve is more day-to-day than he is. They're not sure that they're going to have to put him on the IR. That is really, really good news because he's got a history of some hamstring issues. And so, and this is something that you just don't want to linger. It sure would be nice if Jose Altuve came back refreshed, came back with a great, great head, and just started hitting again. But a little time off may not hurt him. And who knows? Hopefully it's just going to be just a little time off. But Kyle Tucker's another one. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Oh. He hit into some bad luck last night, a lot of bad luck last night. But nothing is falling for him right now. Nothing is going right for him right now. Just the whole team was just blasé the entire night. This is not a great staff, to tell you. Sandoval and Hurgut has to hate the Astros. Because of the Astros, Hurgut's got an ERA in the eights. It's all because of the Astros this year. And you just love when they're bringing this guy out.
Were you worried about Jose Altuve, like longer term?
I was, but hamstring, he's 32 now. He's been playing a lot of ball his whole life. I was worried that it's a lingering thing. Not only just when he comes back, but after he comes back as well. Jose Altuve needs his legs to be effective offensively and defensively.
Yeah, and when you're older, I mean, it is one of those things where the legs, you don't want the legs to go on you. That's a good point. That's true.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wasn't that worried about him. But I do think there is something to be said for, that's why I don't totally discount what Jeremy Branham said about, as Jose Altuve on the backside of his career. I don't know that
I don't disagree with him.
Yeah, I don't. I think if you look at it without it being a fatalistic thing, if you say backside of his career, meaning he's in the twilight and he's about to tail off, I don't think he's there. I don't think the next 2 to 3 years he's done with baseball. But
the peak is gone. I mean, we're MVP.
Well, you can see it.
Jose Altuve's done.
You can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it in the stats. I mean,
or not he's going to fade off into the sunset and hit .120.
No. That's the thing is, I think Jose Altuve still has 3 good seasons left in him, and then 2 maybe not as great seasons. I think 5 more years is what he plays. I mean, Jose Altuve, I don't think he plays for money as much as he plays for love of it. Yes, you play for money, you get money and all that stuff. I'm not saying that, but some guys are driven by just the money, and once they get to a certain level, they don't care anymore, right? It's all F you money now, so it doesn't really matter. Jose Altuve is already at that point, so I don't think that's his motivating factor. I think his motivating factor is he loves to play baseball. I think he probably likes being with guys in the locker room, the whole nine yards. If you have a team full of those guys, you're going to be okay because the money's going to come, and the money's going to be the money. But it's the fact that Jose Altuve, who's already played 11 years in the league, I think is more likely to get to 16 years in the league. I think there's a much better chance that happens. My guess is Jose Altuve has another contract coming from the Astros.
Yeah, it's going to be much lower than this contract.
Possibly.
See. I think he's making 35 this year. There is zero chance he's going to get another contract where he's making $35 million.
Not from the Astros.
Not from anybody. Not from anybody.
Well, let's see how he hits this year. When's he up?
Oh, he's not up for a little while. I don't think until 25. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So you got Jose Altuve. There's no chance he gets another contract in that neighborhood. He's definitely on the downside, on the backside of his career. I don't want to say downside, but on the backside. On the backside.
Yeah, backside. Well, he has to be.
Yeah.
He has to be unless he's going to play 21, 22. If he's playing 22 years, then he's right there in the middle of it.
All right.
No, so he has to be.
No. Well, Hank Aaron and Willie Mays were 24, 26-time All-Stars.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Wait, what?
Yeah. 24 All-Star games for Hank Aaron.
When you had to keep playing to keep a job, like to keep paying bills.
Yeah.
See, that's the difference is Jake Arrieta, it was time for him to retire. I mean, he retired because no one signed him. Like, Jake Arrieta has been terrible. And it's funny. I was looking through. How many good seasons do you think Jake Arrieta had?
He was the Cy Young 1 year. I don't know that there were
He was phenomenal that year with the Cubs.
Right.
He was good with the Cubs, and that's about it.
Yeah.
He was okay with the Orioles, and then he was terrible, terrible, terrible after that. He retired at age 36, which you feel like, 36, he had a pretty good run. But really, it wasn't that great when you look at his numbers. But No, I do think that sports is going to be turned upside down by the speed at which we've reached these outrageously high salaries, because now the old phrase is F you money.
Yeah.
Right? That's a phrase that's been around for a long, long time outside of sports. Once you get to a certain amount of money, there are people who say they have F you money, where if they don't like something, the way something's going, they can just say, screw you, I'm leaving, I'm done, I'll shut it down, whatever the case may be. When you are now giving anybody F you money this early into a career, no matter what your career is, you give a certain amount of power to them to basically shut it down, or they basically don't need you anymore. Once you get, if you're getting paid $40 million a year and you play 2 years, 3 years, and you make 120, even after taxes, you make $60 million, let's say. If you want, and if you're not completely the biggest idiot in the world, you've got F you money.
Yeah.
You can no longer care to work anymore.
James had F you money. He just said, I'm not doing this anymore. Kevin Durant, they have F you money.
It's true from a leverage standpoint. I think they still want to keep playing. I think we're going to start to see a point where, I think we're seeing it. We're starting to see it where you will have, you're going to see it in college now, where it's FU leverage with the transfer portal when there's more money for other people. Seven Banks, who was considered a first round prospect in these two early mock drafts last year, he's transferring. I think he's going to LSU. He's going to LSU from Ohio State. Ohio State starting cornerback, who was supposedly, you know, in a too early mock draft. He's now leaving Ohio State to go to LSU.
Rattler.
FU money is a real thing that's going to become a problem for certain teams, because guys who don't love sports but are really good at it, once they get to a certain level of money, I think you're going to start seeing more retire. I always thought that you might see retirement from a standpoint of CTE stuff, possibly in football. But I don't think it's crazy to think you'll see guys now shutting it down. I'll give you an example. FU money. Kelvin Cato. Yeah. Kelvin Cato got FU money. He got $42 million guaranteed. Kelvin Cato's trifactor was almost none with the Rockets. None. He just didn't even try. He didn't care, because he had more money than he was fine. Like, Kelvin was going to be set up. So he really didn't care to even put the effort in. That's why you have to make sure, if you're going to have guys on your team that you're going to pay, you got to make sure that they still love the sport too, and it's not just about money. We had Bam, what was his name, the running back? Remember he was in studio with us? Bam Morse was in studio with us. I don't know if you remember this. He was in studio with us at 6'10", and he told us, I didn't really like football. It was a means to an end for me. Yeah. I love the money and the paychecks that came in. So he talked about getting in trouble for the drug stuff he had or whatever, but he's like, I didn't really care. Chris Paul, in a lunch I was at, said that the most shocked he was being in the league for about 5 years and realizing, oh, my God, I thought everybody loved it like me, wanted to win championships. He said, when you realize how low that percentage is, he goes, it's kind of devastating to realize, oh, my God, all the guys around me don't really care like I do.
Yep. All right, we got guys that want to talk to you about the draft on the other side There's draft questions. If you've got a draft question for the preeminent draft analyst in all of the NFL, 713-780-3776. Right now, though, you got Proximo is what you
got. Let's talk about Maestro Dobel is who I'm telling you about. And Maestro Dobel's got so many different tequilas to choose from. And it's really about, for the most part, it's going to be about what your particular flavor profile is that you love. I'm looking here at, for example, I just throw in Total Wine. I mean, they've got all the different Proximos that you want. Well, Proximos, the spirit group, Maestro Dobel's that I love. The Añejo, the Cristalino. The Cristalino is three different tequilas. They're charcoal filtered, they're aged, and what it becomes is a brand new varietal where you have the Cristalino, and that's called the Diamante, and it's an unbelievable tequila that I can't describe how smooth it is, but it's got the flavor profile that you still have a lot of different flavors going on in there. The Añejo for me is just pure smoothness. I absolutely love it. The Humito, the smoked silver, that gives you a smoky cocktail. You want a smoky margarita, I highly recommend that. But you know, the silver is great as well, and the silver is available for you wherever fine liquors are sold. So I can promise you this, 11 generations of tequila makers are not getting it wrong. And in fact, they are there to take care of you with the best tequilas on the market. Find a top shelf tequila without paying absolutely ridiculous top shelf prices. And you can do it with Maestro Dobel. Maestro Dobel, wherever fine liquors are sold.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. By the way, cleaning it up, Willie Mays had 24 All-Star games, and Hank Aaron, 25. But they used to have
two All-Stars. Cleaning it up? I think that was the number you said.
I said 24 or 26, whatever. Yeah. It was 24 and 25. But our baseball historian, Todd Farquharson, points out baseball used to have two All-Star games from 59 to 62. So some guys have four added. So it's still 20 All-Star games and 21 All-Star games.
Yeah. That's still a ton.
Yeah. I mean, if you now you make the Hall of Fame, how many All-Star appearances did Bidge have? Seven? Maybe not even.
No. He had more than that, right?
No, I don't think so. Bags didn't either. But the time that Bags was at first base.
Well, there were some good
first base. There were some great.
There was a lot of steroid guys. No, you know what? You're right. No, he had more than that. Here, I'm pulling it in right now. Seven All-Star games.
Yeah.
Biggio had seven All-Star games. 91, 92, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98 now.
Yeah.
It was a good run.
It was a good run in his prime. Yeah. In the 90s, he was the premier second baseman, no question. And that's Hall of Fame worthy. If you are a decade, the most dominant player at your position in the league, then you're all.
You know he led the league in WAR in 1995.
Did he
led the league in WAR in 1995?
I don't think WAR existed in 1995.
Yeah, WAR existed. It's existed for a while. It just hasn't been promoted.
Let's get Andy in here. He wants to talk about defensive linemen in this draft. What do you say, Andy?
Hey guys, good to hear you guys every morning. You know, Lance, I envy you. You get all the film from NFL to watch these. I'm guessing the college games, correct?
Yeah.
How does that come to you? Do you have to watch all the games, or do you like plug in a player and then all, you know, most of his plays come up?
So that's a good question. It's actually a combination of both. So if you took a defensive lineman, let's say Devontae Wyatt, Georgia, what I would do is I would watch, like, for him, I would watch his game against Alabama. I'd watch both of his games against Alabama. It's going to give me the best look. I'd watch him against whoever I thought had the best guards, who he would be playing against. I would watch that. So I'd watch all of his snaps for usually three, sometimes four games, and then I go back and I look at individual stuff. So I've got a tool called Pro Football PFF Ultimate, where it'll show me all of what they consider his bad run blocking snaps and his best run blocking snaps. I'll watch all of those plays. I'll watch any missed tackles he have. I'll watch all of his sacks, and then I have to go watch some of his pressures, and then I'll go watch all of his matchups, pass protection wise, against those teams that I talked about. So really, I have to watch quite a few, especially for the best players. I do have a process that shortcuts it a little bit. Like for a wide receiver, I'm only watching his targets, where he's targeted. I watch all of his drops. I watch all of his touchdowns for 2 years usually, and then. And then I go watch all of his targets.
What about his runs to his side to block? You see how he blocks?
Yeah. So that's harder. It takes a little longer. I can't really shortcut that. So, yeah, I'll watch all the run blocking, and it takes a while to find the run blocking stuff. So I do have something that speeds up the process, and I can get to just the plays they are in. You know what I mean? Like, only plays that Jordan Davis from Georgia is in the game and that he's playing, it has it listed where I'll just click a button and it shows just his plays. Yeah, so it helps a little bit, speeds it up a little bit.
Well, you know, I guess the only thing, you know, we have the highlight. From watching what I can watch, I look at Walker from Georgia.
Yes, you're not. Let me guess, you weren't that impressed.
No, I'm impressed by his speed, by his ability to find the ball and get to the tackler, get to the rusher. I'm impressed with, but I don't see much
pass rush
beating one-on-one guys. See him.
Nope. He's real good. You saw it right. So you saw it right.
Now, as far as Devontae Wyatt, it's funny that you said Devontae Wyatt because I was watching him last night. Is he the guy that came in on passing downs and Davis went off the field?
A lot of times they played together, but yeah, I mean, sometimes maybe. Sometimes. Yeah, Devontae Wyatt was usually in on passing downs.
What I see with Devontae Wyatt is this guy's the real deal.
Yeah, I gave him to the I put him at 13 for the Texans because I thought he fit what Lovie Smith likes. So I put him at 13 in my last mock draft for the Texans. Andy, I tell you what, thanks for the phone call. And those are good questions. I think the problem with Trayvon Walker is that Trayvon Walker is not going to wow you as a one-on-one pass rusher. They have him bumped inside to right over the tackle or the inside eye of the tackle instead of playing him outside as a defensive end. So other people like Daniel Jeremiah and, frankly, many NFL people, they look at how he tested and they see a guy who is going to be a really good pass rusher. It's just going to take some time for him to get used to playing a different kind of role. And I've seen that happen before. It would not be the first time that that's happened. What I see is a guy who plays kind of stiff-legged and he doesn't get off of blocks quick. He doesn't play with great bend. I don't see the athletic explosiveness in his game as a rusher that he tested with. But obviously NFL teams do because he's going in the top three. Like, he won't get past the Texans. The Texans will draft him because he fits Nick Caserio and Lovie Smith. So the Texans are going to draft him if he's at three. I'm telling you.
Would you rather – okay. Would you rather him being taken first and then the Texans get Stingley or he's there and the Texans take Walker?
Well, Trayvon is a great run defender. So I know he's going to be great at that. I don't know that this rush is guaranteed. So I've got him like at the 15th or 14th best player in the draft. I don't have him pushed as high as other people.
No.
Yeah, so I don't project that it's going to be as easy for him to turn into a big time rusher. I'm not that guy, but I would rather have like Walker though is straight football. That's his love. That's his passion. He will do whatever it takes to win. Because at Georgia, they asked him to do dirty work, and he did dirty work great. There's a reason that Kobe Dean, I don't think he's going in the first round, the linebacker, but he made all these plays. And Channing Tindall and Quay Walker, they're linebackers because Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt and Trayvon Walker, they said, what do you need us to do? He wants to hold these blocks up so they can run and get the ball? Good. We'll do it. No problem. And linebackers are flying around and you can't do anything against the Georgia defense. J.J. Watt, for as great a Texan as he was, J.J. Watt was a little selfish. J.J., you've heard it too, I'm sure.
Yep.
Antonio Smith sometimes was. Like, J.J. wanted to try to make a play. Sometimes your best play that you can make is taking your greatness and occupying a block so that somebody else, it makes it easy for somebody else to make a play. Because J.J. would shoot gaps and he'd lose his gap integrity and they'd run right where he was supposed to be. That was a real thing. Like, Bill O'Brien wasn't in love with it.
No. Let's get Ryan in here before the break. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Glad to hear Lance is back in studio. I'll make this real quick question. I've been watching a lot of these receivers, the top-end ones, and there's some really good ones. And my favorite's Drake London, just 6'5", runs a 4.5. And I just want to hear from Lance out of Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Williams, all these guys. Who's his favorite, and who does he think will go first? I'll hang up and listen.
My favorite, actually, off tape, is Treylon Burks. He and Jameson Williams are my two favorites. Treylon Burks plays more of a Deebo Samuel role, but I think he's an even bigger guy. So Treylon Burks is my favorite, followed by Jameson Williams, who I think is incredibly explosive. And then after that, these are personal favorites. Chris Olave would probably be third because I don't know if you're a Texan fan. There's comparisons. People are trying to compare Drake London to DeAndre Hopkins, because he's a ball winner, and then you try to say, well, he's not fast, but, you know, DeAndre Hopkins wasn't fast either. DeAndre Hopkins knew how to separate. I know why you like Drake London, because Drake London, and by the way, Drake London is a really great athlete in the air. He can make plays in the air that are unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So can Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson is the biggest acrobat in this draft. Chris Olave, to me, is the smoothest wide receiver in the draft. He is basically, to me, Will Fuller. Great speed.
If he's, Williams didn't get hurt, where would he be drafted?
He'd be the first. He'd be the first receiver draft. He'd be a top 10.
What top 10?
Yeah, top 10. He'd be go no later. I think he'd go no later than the Jets at 10. Worst case scenario, I think he'd have a shot at Jets at
he
4.
The Falcons could use him.
Jets at 4. Yeah, Jets at 4. Falcons at 8. Jets at 10. Washington at 11. He would definitely be there.
I got some under overs for you on the other side. And we're going to give it. We've got some underovers on the draft.
But I just to get back to Drake London for a second. I worry about him being able to separate in the NFL, and I don't think that's a lock that you can always separate. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins knows how to gain late separation, but not N'Keal Harry. That was a concern for him coming out. And guess what? He can't separate. So I'm worried with Drake London. And now Drake pulled up at his pro day and said, "Oh, I'm still having ankle issues. I can't run." So he basically just didn't run this year because I think he's worried that he's going to run into 4.6s. You know what? I hate to say it. I don't want players to do that, but I hate to say it.
Get
but
your bag.
If your team, if you put a 4.6 out there, it's out there.
It's out there.
If it's not out there, even if teams think you're a 4.6, the fact that it's not out there subconsciously, it doesn't mess with them.
All right. I got some under overs for you on the draft. Next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm going to make you some money.
HRP. That's what I got. HRP.net. They're making you some money, too. That's what the HRMP does every single day. Because you are spending so much time, you're spending so much energy, you're spending so much manpower on your payroll and your HR, which you could screw up, which you're really risking your business there. Don't do that. Don't do your HR yourself. You just don't know the rules. And, oh, by the way, people have lost their businesses. Well, companies have been destroyed because of their HR handling. So let the professionals at HRMP do all that work for you. But they also are taking care of that payroll. And they're doing it professionally. They're doing it wonderfully. They do ours. We never have a problem with our payroll ever, ever, ever. And they do it economically for you. It's a great deal. And, oh, by the way, they're not pushing their 401ks or their insurance packages on you, their benefits packages on you, because that's not what they do. They offer you what they think are the best options for your business. And then you go from there. And then you are the one that is actually making the money. And you're keeping your money. So if you're looking for that payroll company that just does payroll and HR, that's what they do. Oh, and by the way, well, your taxes as well and your Affordable Care Act. Then you go with our company. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do